The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hey, it's Tara Guidis, and I am a huge fan of the Mickey Milers Podcast, and I'm glad you're here.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 289 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast, and with me on the show, as always and forever, the one, the only, Michelle Scribner-McLean. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm fine. Always and forever.
Forever.
Where are you from?
Yeah, it must have been I'm from Arendelle.
Oh, I love your accent. I'm doing very well, thank you. Starting to get back into things again, so pretty humid. Feels like Georgia here today.
It feels like Tampa.
It feels like Tampa or Georgia. I wanted to give a shout out, and it is to two podcasts and the people who run them. We were last week or the week before, we were guests on two different podcasts. We were with you're gonna have to edit. We were with Ashley and Sam, who do a podcast called the WDW Happy Place, and they've launched an initiative on their podcast for people to lose weight, and so we're kind of talking about Run Disney and their goals and things like that. So big shout out to them, and you should check out that podcast. And another one we were on last week, When It Rains It Pours, we were on the Be Our Guest 12-hour podcast, and they raised a lot of money. I think they raised $7,000 for Give Kids the World in Orlando. Awesome. Yeah. So we're happy to help out Mike and the gang over there. But we're ready to go. Fasten your seatbelts.
It's been quite a week of podcasting and recording and GarageBand. So let's get this show on the road. And we are very pleased because this is one of those special shows that Michelle and I love doing because we have one of our favorite people in the world on. And this person just makes everybody better, more informed, a better runner. And a lot of people just owe him so much gratitude for his run, walk, run method. Okay, you all know who it is. We're welcoming back Jeff Galloway, the Run Disney training consultant. Jeff, welcome back.
Well, Mike and Michelle, it is always good to be here. So many good feelings on your show.
Thank you so much, and we have our running friends all over the country, and they go up to you and they say hello, and you always say such kind words about the podcast, so thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
We are a worldwide community, and Disney of course brings us together a little bit more powerfully, but running does that.
Yeah, it's great. So,
Jeff, we learned that you were you and Barbara were in China, and we would love for you to give us a little bit of a summary of what adventures you guys had over there, and anything else that would be of interest to our listeners.
And then after that, we have lots of listener questions for you. So
that's fantastic. You know, I love questions, but. Talk about worldwide community of runners. We experienced that big time over in China. The way this occurred is about 3 years ago, running started to really increase in China. There were more races, and as I understand it, the government released some of their restrictions on putting on races, and it opened up the opportunity for people to put on races without going through all the controls that they used to, and there's been a boom over there as a result of that. An organization formed 3 years ago called eRun360.com, and it was the way a lot of the running clubs in the United States formed about 30, 40 years ago. You'd have individuals who did totally different things in life, but loved running. and they came together. And in this case, there were some business owners, and there were some governmental people worked for the government, but just loved to run. And there was some media people, and the big picture on it is they wanted to help people get into running and enhance the running for runners currently. And in traveling to events such as the Disney events and so forth, which the Chinese are doing quite a bit now, these members of the board of this club came in contact with my clinics and books, and they got in touch about 6 months ago saying that they wanted to talk to me about helping with training programs and helping to develop a community of runners in China like we have in the U.S. And I said, well, let's talk about it. And so we went through several discussions. I liked the people a lot. They were in it for the right reasons. And the bottom line is I flew over with Barbara to do some clinics and to run with the runners and to visit some great places like the Great Wall and the Forbidden City. But in the process, I was reinforced by the finding that runners are essentially the same wonderful, enthusiastic, energetic, empowered people as you find in the U.S. And we had a great time. Had a translator, so I could really talk with anyone, and I talked with hundreds. And we had great turnouts for the clinics, huge interest in Run, Walk, Run, and now they want to move forward. So this is going to be an exciting project, and running's on a real roll in China.
So, Jeff, I didn't realize that there were restrictions for running in races. I mean, that seems unbelievable to me, but I guess I'm ignorant about it.
Well, one of the big challenges over in China is that they have very few parks or safe places to run. And this has really been one of the greatest challenges for the development of running. In Beijing, the greatest asset was the Olympics, because it created this wonderful park to run in. And that's where people walk and run, and it's a wonderful place to run. It really is. But not many cities have really good parks and stuff. But that's starting to change now. And with the growing revenues that the government is receiving, they are spending some money in parks and trails and things. But in the case of events, it was a different story. Like in the U.S., you have to go through the permitting process if you want to put on a race. But in China, there are more hoops you have to jump through to do that. The restrictions got released a bit about 3 years ago, and so they allowed more people in to put on events, and they took away a lot of the restrictions, particularly on trail races. So anyway, it's really booming over in China, and it's exciting, and the people are just really feeling like this is the greatest thing they've ever gotten into, and we want to keep them injury-free, the Galloway way.
So are the events, the races, 5Ks, 10Ks, similar to what we have here, where anybody can join in and run?
It depends on the area. Some cities, there are only a few places that they will allow races, and so they tend to be shorter distances. But in the bigger cities, and in a lot of the trail races, the big interest has been in marathons and half marathons. The Chinese really have gravitated towards the historic event of the marathon, and they have embraced it. And they're traveling all over the world now running in marathons.
So did we know that there's restrictions on the internet in China? Were people aware of who you are and what your history is with the Olympics?
They were, because of the eRun360.com club. They had several months of explaining that I was coming, explaining who I was, and at the attendance and the questions, they had lots of questions, but they really did seem to know who I was, and they really had lots of good feedback afterwards, too.
Oh, that's really great. That must have been a thrill for you.
It was a huge thrill because, you know, I grew up in an era when China and the U.S. weren't on the best of terms. And you have all these emotional feelings from earlier eras, and those things almost all went away as I met the Chinese. And these are warm people. They are friendly. They're just energetic runners, and you get into a run, and you're all sharing the same thing. It's really a good community of runners over there.
Oh, that's so interesting. So I'm wondering about working with a translator with words that are kind of specific to running and to what you do, things like words like intervals and running type of words. Was that something that you had to kind of step back and think of different ways to explain to the translator, or was that person a runner too and could kind of translate those words?
Actually, what was really also gratifying is that about one third of the runners spoke pretty good English.
Oh, so wonderful.
So when there was a problem that the translator had, there were always two or three others that said something in Chinese that verified or answered the question or the clarification thereof. And yes, there were. There were a number of technical questions about things. They were very inquisitive. I mean, I got more questions in an hour than I've gotten in a very, very long time. And they were just good questions because they were really into it and they really wanted to know how to avoid injury and how to get faster and how to do that marathon and feel good and recover fast. And fortunately, I was able to give them answers to help them do that.
So when you say that, I'm sorry, I have so many questions. I'm just pushing Mike out right here. This is so fascinating.
Go right ahead.
When you say that the runners are, you know, pretty much the same, were some of the questions that you got in China the same as you get in the U.S.? Were there? And I'm sure if I asked you to put them in categories, you could probably give me 10 categories of questions that you always get at a Run Disney event. But were you getting the same type of questions from Chinese people?
I was, and I'm trying to think if there was any one category that was more than another one. And I guess the only category that I didn't get a lot of questions on was nutrition. And I think it may be that there are so many different products over there than are in the U.S. In terms of clothing and shoes, the major brands are very well represented in China. But in terms of the gels, the goos, there are different products over there.
Oh, interesting. What about the technology? Do you have, you know, the Galloway Gym Boss? Are there Garmins? What sort of technology?
Yes, they had pretty good technology. I mean, they were pretty much all wearing some device. The timer, though, they were really interested in the timer. And I really didn't bring any over. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't. I guess your first trip to communist China, you really want to know what's going on first.
Right, right. Rather than bring a suitcase full of timers.
Yes. And I will say that one of my greatest thrills, but also just sort of a drop back and try to revisit my past, occurred as I walked past the headquarters of the Communist Party.
Wow.
I mean, we walked right by it, right by the guard gate. Very, very interesting. But these people really are friendly. They're just like folks that you'd meet at a race in the U.S. You get over the translation thing. And I've had my clinics translated with Q&As in 7 different languages now, different places. And these people did it better than everyone but one. I did a clinic in Santo Domingo last year, and they had a UN-type device so that everybody was wearing an earphone, and so there was simultaneous translation. It's pretty neat.
That's cool. So you mentioned earlier that there may be some next steps. This might be the beginning of other trips and other and events that you have planned there.
Yes, and what both sides, the eRun360.com and JeffGalloway.com, what we want to do is to bring the countries together, the runners of the countries together. And so I'm going to be looking at opportunities such as our Jeff Galloway 13.1, where the Chinese can come over here and do one, two, or three races while they're over here. And then they are going to look for opportunities where Americans could come over and run on the wall and see some of the other sites, but enter in some of the races.
Well, I would like to volunteer to be your assistant, Jeff Galloway.
we need to stay in touch on that.
So that's great, Mike. Do you have any questions? I'm proud that you represented us, the U.S. and runners, because I'm sure it was a big thrill, and they came away, you know, just as knowing as nice as you are, as we think you are. They now know that too.
Well, thank you, and I've just got to say that running does change people, and that was one of the things that came out in the clinic. There were several instances where people would get up and say, I want to thank you so much for your method because, and they would go into this, that, or the other. So they've already tried it over there, and it's really gratifying.
That's great.
Jeff, when you were talking about, you know, the feelings you were going through, you and I are from the same generation, and I was thinking back of how amazing it must have been to, you know, step onto that soil, and you know, going back to the 50s and 60s and maybe even 70s, thinking about, you know, all the stuff that we grew up with, and then go over there to see the people, and it must have been very, very gratifying for you.
Well, it was, and yeah, it was a mindset change that I was willing to take. But you have to realize that I was in the Navy during Vietnam. My ship regularly sailed up into the Gulf of Tonkin off China. And at one episode, I was on the oldest ship in the Navy. And it broke down, the engines broke down, and we drifted inside the 30-mile limit that the Chinese claimed, and we were fair game for being taken like the Pueblo was taken, if you remember that episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And fortunately, we got the engine started again, but, you know, that was legitimate fear.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very cathartic, it sounds like,
this visit
for you.
We're glad that you got the engine started, because who knows, you probably wouldn't have been on this show.
Could have been a different story.
Could have had, who knows, Eddie McCoy on here talking on Rock One. That concludes part one of our visit with Jeff Galloway. Join us for part two, where we dive into your listener questions. So for Jeff Galloway, Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.